welcome to another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. I'm Dr. Z, Dr. Eugene Zambro, naturopathic physician, herbalist, professor at the University of Bridgeport, where I teach one of the founders of the college and teach naturopathic medicine to new generations of bright young physicians trying to change the world one patient at a time. So we're really excited to be with you again for another edition where we discuss health, wellness, and issues in alternative medicine. The Natural Nurse has the week off, and I'll be hosting the program today. And you can always learn more about our webinars and really cool trips to Jamaica and into the rainforest. You know, it's funny, Dr. Null was just talking about traveling the world and looking at kind of the way that people live, and it's so different when you travel. I just got back from Greece, and it's so different compared to the way that we are here in this country. It's just such an eye-opener if you can get a chance to travel and see and then incorporate those wonderful lifestyle habits, attitudinal habits, and ways of thinking into your lifestyle here. That will go a long way to protect yourselves and your cells from aging and the ravages of what happens. And so anyway, you can get more information at our website, naturalnurse.com and drznaturally.com. So we have a program, speaking of your thoughts and how they, and emotions and how they impact you, we're going to have Sonia Sophia on, who is a master EFT practitioner and teacher and has worked with many, many thousands of people around the world who are trying to help themselves get out of the stuck patterns of emotional trauma and even physical pain, too. And Sophia's been featured in documentary films like The Goddess Project and Femme, Women Healing the World, and she's the founder of Sophia School of Living Arts, and we're going to be talking about EFT, which I know we talked about a while ago, but it's important to keep talking about these very interesting tools because patients seem to be stuck in a rut. I can't change my diet. I'm very fearful of this, or I have a phobia of that, or I'm very angry with this, and many, many different things. So we're going to bring Sophia on to talk about EFT. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. So EFT is very interesting. You know, when we look at psychotherapy and any type of therapy, you know you make a connection to help people when there's some, you know, light bulb goes off in their mind and they finally have figured out what's driving their behavior or their deep-seated emotion. And so, but EFT takes a very different approach than conventional psychotherapy where you kind of lay on the couch for years and explore your issues. And then all of a sudden, you know, the therapist helps you uncover, you know, the problem. EFT is kind of more from the behavioristic viewpoint that you could kind of, you don't have to do all that to change behavior. What's your definition of EFT?
Well, I want to just go to the beginning and say, for some people who may not know what EFT stands for, it's emotional freedom technique. And, you know, I do find that people find the core causes of their issues, but we actually start from the surface of, like, what are you feeling right now? And then we go down to, well, what are you believing? And we drill down, well, where did that come from? And when did you start feeling that way? And what happens is that we start processing kind of the presenting symptom on the surface and then drill down into it. And a lot of people find that just dealing with the trigger, as it were, of today is a little easier in than telling long, long stories, right? And and kind of getting analytical about it. And what's interesting about EFT is that even if you've done a lot of therapy and you know what the story is, a lot of people still can't change the belief. They know why they believe it. They know when they started believing it. They don't know who they picked it up from, but then what? And EFT is kind of a how-to component that releases it from their cells and their neurology, which is a huge relief to not only know why you're doing what you're doing or feeling what you're feeling, but how to actually complete that process and let the pattern go.
That's what I like about it. That's why it's aptly named emotional freedom. So, you know, a lot of times we don't really know why we're feeling a certain way at a certain time. I mean, it could be a myriad of reasons. And then it gives, what I like about it is it gives patients a manageable tool that they can use on the spot mm-hmm. when they're feeling a certain way to begin to break those patterns. I always explain to people that, like, these emotional patterns and it's based on, like, old books that I read from the 70s, like Dr. Helmstetter's book, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. So a lot of it is mm-hmm. based on your negative self-talk, which is kind of like I always use the analogy of a jukebox. It's like all of a sudden, like, you start playing this record that's been, I'm dating myself talking about records, but for the generation, you know what I'm talking about. Vinyl's coming back. So, but anyway, but this kind of thing in the jukebox, and it's kind of like, okay, Dr. Z's depression record is now ready to, is queued up to play, and then it drops down and starts playing. And EFT is a way to scratch that record so you can never really play it again the same way. And it's just, and that's how I kind of explain it to people in one way. How'd you get introduced to it, and how has it worked in your life?
Well, excuse me.
Sure.
I'm very particular. So I basically have this idea that if it doesn't work on me, no matter how good it sounds out there, I can't actually believe in it. So I had a nervous breakdown. And having done years and years of therapy and various ways of healing my own depression, my own neuroses, fears, and traumas, I felt like I was pretty adept at all of the different things that the world offered. And I asked life to stop giving me what I wanted and start giving me what I needed. And boom, I had a nervous breakdown. And a young friend of mine who had learned EFT in a little intro workshop over the weekend came over and offered me a session based on the small amount of information she had. And I sort of laughed, like, you know, this isn't going to do anything. And it did. And within an hour of her tapping on my body, because I was too floppy and overwhelmed to even tap on myself, and repeating things that she asked me to repeat, I recovered tremendously. And within a few sessions, I had healed what I thought would take me a year to get over in about 4 hours. So that really got my attention, and it showed me, like, okay, check this out. There is something that's fast and efficient, and it goes deep. And I didn't have to do a lot of, like, ceremony and ritual and remembering and rearranging my diet or my schedule to actually get the results I was after. So that got my attention, and I started practicing on myself. And at that time, I was doing massage therapy and energy work and kind of pastoral counseling with people. And I started implementing EFT into their sessions with me and said, you're not getting your massage until we do half an hour of this. And what I noticed is that the knots I was taking out of their back and shoulders were disappearing before they hit the table. I was like, oh.
Wow.
So this is biologically affecting them too. So I began to do my research and to put all my energy into studying and practicing. And 12 years later, I am at the top of my field and training people and practitioners all over the world. And I've just never looked back. It's so amazing what I see on a daily basis that I'm infinitely fascinated.
Some people call it emotional acupressure, I guess, because you're not really puncturing the skin. Mm-hmm. Emotional acupressure. You know how, like, you know, in traditional Asian medicine, there's, you know, tuina, and then there's acupuncture, and or if you go to Ayurveda, there are marma points. These points are very important. These points are not only, you know, pain points, but they're intricately locked with the body mind. In other words, they all have an emotional, particularly in the marma points in Ayurvedic medicine, which I know that some of the points correlate with too, although I don't really know if they've done a lot of research. They kind of more orient EFT towards the more Asian systems versus the Indian systems, but I, you know, I'm a kind of a cross-cultural thinker, studied a little bit of Ayurveda, and it's interesting that these points are, you know, correlated with huge body-mind points, because I guess you're a big believer that emotions and other types of things get locked into the tissue as well. I'm sure you see that as a massage therapist.
Oh, yeah. Well, not only do I see that from when my massage practice was active, but I see that as an EFT practitioner. I see people, for example, I did some EFT with a surgeon who had multiple surgeries from the other surgeons in her hospital, and she was having chronic pain and was addicted to pain medicine and you know, was hobbling up my steps to my office on a cane and was angry. And when we started talking about it, she was telling me how she felt put down by all the different men surgeons in her hospital. She was the only feminine doctor there. And each one of those surgeries felt like an insult to her because she didn't like the man who did it, but she needed his expertise. And as we started applying the EFT, basically tapping on the meridians of the body and getting her to process the emotions behind the surgery, the pain came out of the scar tissue and flexibility returned to the body. And she was able to move and bend in ways that she hadn't in 25 years from an hour and a half of talking to me and processing what felt to her like their signature on her body where the scar was. So she had this emotional content wrapped up in it, and the tissue was angry. So when she released that anger and the sense of humiliation that she needed their help and released that subjugation that she felt, her body changed instantly. It was amazing.
Now, tell us a little about the history of this therapy, or whatever you want to call it, modality.
Yeah.
I know it's interesting because it takes into consideration, you know, again, the traditional Asian things and then the work of certain pioneers and then also neuro-linguistic programming or neuro-associative conditioning type of work as well. That's my kind of background, and maybe you can elucidate us.
Yeah, it does, really. I mean, I just call it a meridian-based self-healing technique. And it was pioneered really on the shoulders of a lot of different people's work, all the way back to Dr. John Goodhart, who started applied kinesiology. So in a way, it has its foundations in muscle testing. Dr. Diamond added the piece that speaking positive thoughts to us actually changes the way our bodies react. He was a chiropractor. And so there are different levels of people who pioneered the work behind it. But the person that EFT is basically attributed to was a Stanford engineer named Gary Craig, who learned thought field therapy from Dr. Roger Callahan, who was noticing that when you touch certain meridian points in a certain order while a patient is processing intense fear or trauma, that it would alleviate the trauma. So Dr. Callahan created a body of work called Touch for Health, which I came crossed the book of in the attic of my parents when I was a young woman, and it freaked me out. Like, what is this doing in the attic? This is so important. And that later became the foundation for EFT. The thing with thought field therapy is that it was complicated, and there were all these muscle testing sequences that you had to go through to figure out which correction you needed. And Gary Craig came along as an engineer and went, you know, we need to just strip this down, make it really easy. What would the thought field therapy for dummies be? What, how would we do a buckshot approach? And he simplified it and said, well, if the body's like a fuse box, and when we have intense emotional experiences, whether it's through trauma or even through imagined outcomes that felt so real, like I thought I was going to die in childbirth, or I thought I was going to die in a violent episode, those things can get lodged in the brain and short-circuit the body. And the body doesn't get the electrical charge it needs. And when it doesn't have the electrical charge, it doesn't get the nutrition. It doesn't detox properly. And it literally starts to kind of stagnate and then create physical health problems. So he said, well, if we just flip the circuits back and forth and do the series of corrections again and again while we run through the things that are bothering us, that should help. And lo and behold, EFT was born, and it does work. So it's super simple, and I, like you, love that it's a take-home thing that people can use in the moment when their therapist isn't available. They can use it in the bathroom at work. They can use it, you know, under the table during the Thanksgiving dinner to like maintain peace and equanimity and keep themselves in that calm, stable, unflappable place.
Right, and unlike, you know, like studying to be a professional acupuncture or therapist where you have to know many different point sequences, I think you alluded to this before, like, you know, what does the research from the TCM hospitals in China, you know, do for this particular malady or this particular malady? There's a lot of different points that you have to memorize as an acupuncturist to pass your boards and things like that. But for EFT, it's the same points. It's just a different kind of mantra, right?
Right. And it's something where you don't have to be, it's sort of the way I compare it is you don't need to know how to build a computer or even how a computer works to send an email.
Right.
So this is a way of accessing, like, okay, I can actually get in and fiddle with these files without having to take this course to figure out how computers work. And your brain is working on these old pathways, very similar to a circuit board. And what we're doing is not only disrupting the pathway, but with empathy and kind, loving attention, we are bringing what has been missing that has created this very intense learned experience that becomes a knee-jerk reaction. We bring love and empathy to it. And that pathway finally chills out and actually disintegrates. The neural pathways bond with a protein bond when a pattern has been repeated enough times. You don't have to think about it anymore. So an example I like to use is love equals fear. People say, I love you, and we go, oh, why is it a fear response? Well, something happened. Maybe something happened a lot. And now love and fear have been intertwined in the brain. We go back to the circuit and we tap on the body and say, search the file for even though love equals fear. The file comes up, we're tapping on the body, and we bring love and acceptance and empathy to ourselves for having that file. We're not trying to change it. We just accept that that's what's happening in the brain. That's how I'm responding. And as the empathy enters the nervous system, the protein bond dissolves, love and fear as synapses pull apart, relax. And then when the charge neutralizes, I can go back and rewire my brain and say, I allow myself to experience love as love, that love can feel good, that love feels safe. You know, repeat this through your body and suddenly love feels good. And someone says, I love you. And you say, wow, yay.
Yeah.
And there's not this projected fear. So it's really, really useful.
So there's been some science behind this modality. Has it been kind of looked at scientifically? And I guess, you know, again, like you say, psychologists tend to have a world view of the way that they practice psychology. And again, if you're Freudian or Jungian or whatever, Ericksonian, there's different ways that you kind of approach therapy. But this therapy seems to work. I mean, I've actually seen it clinically work. But I wonder if what the broader scientific body has looked at, you know.
Yeah, luckily it's been around for about 25, 28 years now. And that has given researchers time to study it. EFT has been researched in more than 10 countries by more than 60 investigators. And their results have been published in more than 20 different peer-reviewed journals, including Harvard and top-tier journals like the Journal of Clinical Psychology, APA journals. It's been studied in Berkeley, the New York University, Walter Reed Medical Center, Texas A&M, JFK University. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Wow, that's so impressive, yeah.
Yeah, people are impressed, and they're using it for things like test anxiety in students. They're using it in hospitals for phantom limb pain. They're using it for sexual abuse trauma and PTSD in veterans. It works beautifully. And, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder is kind of a new name for battle fatigue, right, shell shock. But I actually think that most of us have some form of PTSD just from living in our modern world. And it works beautifully on basic stuff like my mother didn't love me or my father was never available, and the more subtle forms of trauma that come from things like that as well.
So you've seen the technique used for pretty severe conditions, right? I'll give you an example. Like, I do a lot of rheumatology. I do a lot of people with arthritis. Does it have, and pain? What's the applications that you've seen it for helping people like that? I mean, they have clearly their body is attacking themselves at a cellular level. You can see that with their ANA being high and their rheumatoid factor and their other types of things. So there's definitely like physical proof that their body's attacking themselves. But I always tell folks that there sometimes is an autoimmune personality that where you kind of attack yourself at a mental level. So I wonder if you have any experience with that. And if not, any other chronic things or severe conditions that you've seen.
Yeah. Well, I can give you an example from my own life.
Sure.
I was in a marriage. I was living overseas. And I developed arthritis in every joint in my fingers. And so much so that just lifting the bed sheet with two fingers to pull it up to my shoulders hurt. And I was also going blind. I was losing my vision. And my body was seizing up. And what I did to cure it, besides shifting my diet slightly, not grandly, but slightly, was I started looking at what I was holding on to. And I was holding on to this idea of this marriage that wasn't working. And as I let go of the idea, my joints started to move again. So the first thing I do when I'm looking at someone whose joints are seizing up like that is, what are you clinging to? What are you holding on to that you may be terrified of letting go of? And sometimes it's letting go of a loved one. Sometimes it's letting go of a career. Sometimes it's letting go of an identity. You know, I've always presented myself this way and secretly I'm that way, and the discrepancy is killing me. So there's a lot of ways that we would look at the body as an analogy for what's happening inside our minds. And we use these terms colloquially to describe things. For example, I can't stomach it anymore, or I feel like they're always shoving it down my throat, or you know, all the weight is on my shoulders. even I can't stand this. You know, when I'm looking at someone who's having ankle or knee or foot problems, you look at that part of the body, knees, for example, what do knees do? They bend forward. They move forward. So when someone has chronic knee pain, I'm like, is there an area of your life that you are terrified of moving forward in? We tap on that. We work that through. And I've seen people avoid surgery. They had canceled surgery that they'd had scheduled because their knee no longer needed surgery. Yeah, it's amazing how the body is not just this thing, this chemical thing that's responding to chemicals. It's actually an analogy. It's more of a poetic analogy for our experience. It's an expression of our being. And
well,
in our world, it's...
Yeah. I always say that, you know...
segmented that, yeah?
The body, you know, supposedly... most of your cells change over a period of years. I mean, some cells, like your GI cells, rapidly change, but other cells take a little bit longer, a lot longer. But nonetheless, supposedly you get like a whole new body in, let's say, a couple of years, just for conversation's sake. Yet at the same time, people stay sick.
Mm-hmm.
What's not changing? Is it, you know, so it's that powerful quantum thing that's happening. And, you know, I believe it all happens with the, you know, the quantum events and then the thoughts and then how it trickles down to, you talked about the neuro pathways. That's kind of interesting because you find that those neuro pathways get kind of burned into, a pattern, so to speak, and that can lead to illness, that constantly thinking about. I think Buddha said, you are what you think about all day long, or somebody said that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, wow, no wonder. So if you could change that pattern of thinking, it'll have a trickle-down effect on your body. And so I've seen EFT do those types of things, you know, fast, not with years of therapy, fast, like
right.
Quickly.
And the other thing with thoughts is that we have a gland in the top of our brain called the hypothalamus, and it triggers chemical compounds every time we have a thought. So in 0.5 seconds, every time we have a thought, we get a flush of chemistry into our blood. The chemistry goes to every cell and tells the receptor sites on the outside of the cell how things are going. And if the message has to do with safety, the cells go about making dinner, reproducing, taking out the trash, rebuilding themselves. And if the message is not safety, I'm being judged, I'm being criticized, people don't like me, I feel embarrassed, I should be careful, the cells seize up just like a person would, and they watch and wait. They do not take out the trash. They do not want to have nutrients coming in. They do not want to reproduce. And they wait. They go into a frozen kind of pattern. And so the cell isn't getting what it needs to regenerate itself. And think about how many negative thoughts most people have chronically running through their head. The cells are getting a constant barrage of information that says, I may not be okay. And we should wait and see and hunker down. So it creates premature aging. It creates stagnation and toxic buildup. And, of course, you know, that leads to decay and breakdown and premature aging, really. You know,
yeah.
I turned 50 the other day, and my skin looks beautiful because I have cleaned up chronic worry and negative thinking in my head 20 years ago, and it really changed the way my body was aging.
Well, you've joined the over 50 crowd. Welcome.
Thank you.
Anyway, yeah, I totally, you know, have a ton of stories too. But anyway, well, it's half hour. It's a half past the hour, so we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what actually you actually do when you do EFT and what it would be like to work with someone like yourself and how you would teach folks how to do it. So it would be more practical. I think we laid out a pretty good pretty good scientific and case history of doing it, an introduction. So when we return, we'll continue right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z with Sonia Sophia.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
Hi, everybody. I am Karen Hartglass, the host of It's All About Food. Join me every Tuesday from 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, or catch all of my shows in the archives. You can find my archive programs at the Progressive Radio Network website, or you can call my personal archive phone number to hear the most recent 5 episodes of It's All About Food. Here's the number, 1-701-719-0885. Here it is again, 1-701-719-0885. Learn about how we can solve many of the world's problems today and do it deliciously here on It's All About Food.
Hi, this is Maria Heller, host of The Maria Heller Show, heard at MariaMeria.net 4 days a week. But every Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern, you get to hear one of the best shows of the week on The Maria Heller Show right here on PRN.FM. If you missed the show, they're archived right here on site at PRN. Support real truth in media by tuning in and sharing the information you hear with anyone that'll listen. The Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and we hope you are coming with us.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices.
Okay, and we're back with more of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. This is Dr. Z, and we're have a wonderful discussion here that's going on with Sonia Sophia, a master EFT practitioner and teacher, and has done a lot of work educating and teaching people about what we call as tapping, or again, EFT, a simple form of kind of acupressure, which treats the energetic roots of emotional and physical suffering. I think if you tap on these various meridian points, as we've discussed, you can see and dissolve blockages in your mind-body pathways, which can be caused by traumas or emotions, like we talked about, grief, anger, and restore, I guess, the natural flow of the chi, in a way. But
exactly.
We've talked about its application on with PTSD and grief and anger and arthritis and things like that. How about phobias? That's a big thing. A lot of people have phobias. I've seen at least stuff on YouTube that, you know, where the person couldn't even get on the plane or get on the elevator, and then doing the EFT, they're able to do it right then and there, and it's almost like too good to be true, but I've actually witnessed it with patients.
It's true, and it's beautiful. People have come to me telling me that they've been working on this for years, and I'm like, oh, we could probably knock that out in a session. And they're just like, what? It can be embarrassing that it works so quickly, because people feel like they really, really tried, and they have. And what they haven't tried is bringing love and empathy into the circuitry of the body while it's being stimulated. Usually when we're triggered in that state, we feel ashamed, embarrassed. We don't want people to see. We pretend it's not there. We basically shut it down. And what we're doing here is we're triggering the phobia by thinking about it in a safe environment, stimulating the meridian pathways that basically forces your body to rapidly process this. And then we're bringing love and understanding and compassion into it. And what happens is that it finally heals. And we also give ourselves permission never to heal it. So it's going to be a little bit strange sounding to people because we're tapping on the body and we're saying some negative things like, it's okay that I feel this way, and it's okay if I never heal it, and I'm still lovable as I am. But it tells the body that this isn't a fight or flight anymore, that it can relax, and then it will resolve itself spontaneously.
So a lot of times we start with the patient's painful statements. You mm-hmm. kind of, I was mistreated as a child, or I was bullied as a child, or I've been betrayed or abandoned, or mm-hmm. I'm always losing things, or because it could be just a bad habit, or I'm mm-hmm. always, it's funny. I'll tell you a personal story. I would crack my knuckles so much that it would drive people crazy, particularly my wife. So she sent me to an EFT practitioner, and and I stopped cracking my knuckles. Yeah. Well, when I talk about it right now, I feel like cracking them. But but that's kind mm-hmm. of, you can work with the most mundane, involuntary habits to very deep pathology. So let's tell us, what actually do you do? What's the steps for actually working with a patient? I'm sitting there in front of you, and I want to work on a particular problem. How does an EFT session unfold?
Well, Dr. Z, I can describe this, and I would love to just give your listening audience a little mini experience of it, if that would work for you.
You can actually do it over the air. That's cool. Okay.
Absolutely, and that's what I love about this, is that it's very interactive. So if y'all want to tap along with me, I'm going to call out the points, kind of like square dancing, and tell you where they are. And all you're going to do is take one or two fingers and wrap gently on these meridian points. And the points are small, but your fingers are big, so you're guaranteed to get near enough to jiggle these points. And I'm going to give you a little warning that you may or may not experience some interesting off-gassing of stored stress in your nervous system. And that can look like yawning profusely, burping, laughing, waves of energy tingling through your body. It can also feel like emotional release or changes, like the room suddenly got really warm. And we're just going to tap for a few minutes, and I'm going to give you an experience of what a little miniature tapping session might be, and then you'll know more what I'm talking about. But basically, we're just going to take either hand, left or right, and tap along and breathe and repeat after me. And the repeating part is actually doing a search function in your subconscious, looking for matching files that have the stored corrupt information and are giving you kind of misfires, right, where you're kind of looping in a certain experience. And we're just going to bring some empathy into that experience, and then you can kind of rebuild what it is that you'd rather be experiencing. So something easy to work on would be a negative self-talk that you mentioned earlier, Dr. Z. Most people have quite a few negative things that they hear themselves tell themselves on a daily basis. So if you heard yourself get down on yourself today, for example, with anything, this would be a moment to pull that thought out and be like, okay, I do this to myself on the daily. Whether it's this idea like, I'm going to be late, or it's not going to go well, or I wake up feeling grumpy, right. Whatever it is. So just pick one limiting belief or negative self-talk that you hear in your head. And if that's challenging, then just pick something that's stressing you right now, okay? And then think about how intense that thought is for you, or that experience of stress from 0 to 10, so that we have a scale. You can see if there's been any change. And some people are going to shift very, very quickly, and some people are going to move at a different pace, and they might need a little more time. So just be relaxed with yourself as we experiment. So you got the idea in your head, Dr. Z?
Yeah.
Okay. So what we're going to do is noticing the intensity of that thought. So an intense thought that feels true would be a 10, like it feels 100% true. A 5 would be 50% true or 50% stressful, okay? And we're going to take either the left or the right hand, and we're going to start by massaging the upper pectoral region in the front of the chest. There's a little reset zone in the lymph system there. Just feel around in the front of the chest for a sore spot, or if it was a little tender, press on it gently, rub it in a circular way, and breathe. And it's going to be a strong exhalation because that's going to give you more emotional release. And just repeating after me, and everyone's going to fill in the blank for their own specific topic. So even though I have this issue, I'm open to loving and accepting myself. Everybody breathing. Just say that 2 or 3 times. Even though I have this issue, and think about what it is, I'm open to loving and accepting myself. One more time. Even though I have this issue of, say it again, what that is, I'm open to loving and accepting myself. Now tap the beginning of your eyebrow, right where it starts to get fuzzy. Just gently tapping, breathing, and thinking about this issue. We're not trying to change it. We're not judging it. We're just noticing that it's there. Now slide down your eyebrows to the temple, tapping on the temple, this issue. Big, deep breath. Good. Slide down to the front of the cheekbones. Tapping on the front of the cheekbones. Big, deep breath again. I don't like this issue. Say what your issue is. Tapping under the nose. It makes me uncomfortable. And what? What's another word you would describe? Is it embarrassed? Is it ashamed, angry, afraid? So you're tapping under the nose and above the upper lip, and breathe. I'm tapping under the lips, on the chin. I'm open to loving and accepting myself, even with this issue, exactly as it is. Big, deep breath. And now take your hand and tap your chest, the top of your chest, right around the center of your chest in a big circle. This issue really bothers me. Just admitting to yourself how much it secretly bothers you. Big soft breath, letting the body relax and just accepting what's there for a few minutes. Big sigh. Now we're going to tap the front of the ribs. So bottom of the rib cage, front of the ribs, where your ribs stick out the most in front. I'm open to accepting myself no matter how long this has been bothering me. And now we're going to tap the side of the rib, so nipple height, side seam of the body. If you're wearing a bra, Dr. Z, this is where your bra strap would go across, okay?
I don't think so. I have one on now, but...
it's a little under
I'll
the
use my
armpit,
imagination.
Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
So big, deep breath, tapping there, tuning into this issue again and how much it bothers you and what feelings it brings up. Okay, good. Now looking down, flip your hand over and look at the inside of your wrist. Find your wrist bone. That's the bone that pops up and down when you wiggle your hand. Tap on your wrist bone and breathe. So now each of these points does something else, but I'm not going to get too complicated and tell you what they all do. This one, for example, is a heart point. You're actually stimulating the pericardium and the heart as you tap on this. Big, deep breath and relax. Now put your hand like you're going to karate chop something. Look down. Tap the top edge of your thumb right at the side of your thumbnail. Now the points in the fingers are at the tip of the meridian line. Okay, this issue, tuning into it again. It's been bothering me for how long? How long has this been going on? Big sigh again. And tapping down to the index finger, same place, top edge of the side of your index finger right next to the nail. I picked this up back when, and describe for a second or two, when you think this started. Maybe you were quite young. Big breath, big sigh, sending some love back to that earlier version of you. Good. So tapping the middle finger, same place, we're just stair-stepping down. I was really struggling. And I needed, what did you need back then? Did you need protection? Did you need support or understanding? And see if you can send that earlier version of you, this thing that was missing. Big deep breath, sending love and the energy of support, the energy of understanding or protection back to that earlier version of you. And breathe. Now we're going to go to the bottom side of the fourth finger. So it's the ring finger, but we're going to flip around and do the opposite side. This is the triple warmer meridian. Tapping there. It's safe for me to release what happened now. Big deep breath. Sending love and strength and understanding back to that earlier version of you. Letting yourself feel that support come in and be like, ah. Big deep breath. And back to the original side, the upper edge of your pinky finger on the side of the fingernail. So you're just spreading your fingers out, looking down at the inside edge of your little finger. That is another heart point. This issue, name your issue again. Letting yourself feel whatever's there without judgment or trying to change it. Now we're going to tap the bottom side of the hand where you would land a karate chop if you were going to karate chop something, that fleshy side of your hand. Tapping there and breathing. This issue, tuning in again to the issue. We're almost done here. Now we're going to tap the top of the head. Even though I still feel, say what you feel about this issue. Tapping the top of the head, the side of the head, and the back of the skull. I'm open to loving and accepting myself. So let's just pause there. We've done one round. That means we've gone through the circuit of tapping points. And just tune in and see if there's any difference in the intensity of the issue that you were just working on.
Yeah, definitely.
What's your experience?
Well, I had back pain. I had been moving a planter and threw my back out recently. And, you know, I've been doing some work, but I'm kind of in a mode where I'm preparing for school and sitting on my butt a lot, and I have had a very active summer in the beginning, but now it's kind of coming to an end, so I'm feeling like, oh, geez, I'm going to have to go back to school and teach again, and which is great. I love it, but, you know, it's like a change, and I'm kind of, and so I'm associating the probably the back pain to maybe sitting around on my butt more, also the feelings of, you know, kind of going back to school, just like a school kid would. That's the problem when you're in academia. It's like it's school. It's the beginning of school the whole time, and you go back to when you were a kid and, you know, your summer was ending and you had to go back to school. So it's kind of like that. And, you know, so I feel like we have to do in the EFT, my back pain's a lot better, and I'm feeling a little bit more freer about the emotion of going back to teaching, because, you know, I was off for the summer doing other work, but, you know, back to that kind of grind. And so, thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. And, you know, what I would recommend for you, Dr. Z, since you know how to do this, is sit down sometime in the next few days and give yourself 5 or 10 minutes of tapping on what school used to mean to you as a child. And the frustration or the irritation of having to get up on a certain schedule, of having to do the forced march with homework and grading and all of that stuff, and clear that from your nervous system. And I bet you anything that you're going to find that this year feels really different, and that you're not stepping over those old stones to get out the front door, but it's like, oh, you're prancing out of the door because you have a different nervous system to work with.
Yeah, exactly. Wow.
I'm imagining you prancing.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm, you know, a black belt in a couple of different forms, and I haven't been able to go to the dojo to work out because my back's been bothering me. So it's going to be exciting to hopefully get over this and you know, work on that. So now, so people can learn this by just studying. Do you have a website that people can go on where they can kind of learn about EFT so they can actually see the, because like I couldn't remember the point. I mean, I know the points now from doing it a lot on people, but like for people that have just heard this the first time, they're like, okay, where did I tap and can I be, can I have my eyes open and look at a map of the points while I'm doing this work? Yeah.
Definitely. So you're going to find all kinds of information about EFT. I have online courses. I have a little mini course that's $15 that will give people some of the history and take them through some little mini tapping sessions with me in video form, show you all the points. You'll find that at Sonya Sophia, SonyaSophia.us, SonyaSophia.us. And I also do a weekly broadcast, much like you do, it's live, and I do a tapping session for the world every Monday night.
Oh, wow.
So people
That's
all
cool.
over the world can sit with me. I beam into their laptop or their cell phone, and I give them a plug-and-play session, much like we just did. Last night we tapped for money, and we started to clear beliefs and negative feelings around why I can't have, and, you know, if I feel worthy and how long it's going to take and all these limiting beliefs, so that we could open up and take the opportunities and call in the things that we're wanting to do in our life. So EFT can be used for anything that has any kind of psychological ramifications, which is all of life. It can be
right,
family
pain.
Right,
so it's not only like a physical thing, but a limiting, like a thought that you're having, or a belief, or you're afraid, or I'll never get free of this debt, or I'm hated by so and so, or what else? I'm scared of snakes or spiders or dogs or nothing good ever happens to me. Sorry?
Anything that takes you to another level, you're going to run into a fear zone before you hit the next level. So that could be buying a house. It could be getting into a relationship. That could be growing your business. There's this kind of gargoyle gauntlet that we go through of like, I don't know if I can do it. Am I too old? Am I too fat? Did I, you know, who am I to want this or to even have this? And each person who's growing is going to have to face those fears. And so this is very useful, not only for physical healing, where we got stuck in the past, and clearing our histories of cultural conditioning or child abuse trauma, but to move forward in our lives. So this tool is just a good, like, tool for the times. So I have two websites. If you're interested in getting involved in the World Tapping Circle, it's worldtappingcircle.com. People can do a single circle and just do it once and try it out for $9. They can do a monthly subscription for $27 a month. That's 4 live circles. They're archived. They're in a video library. So basically time and money become way less of an excuse for like, why am I not getting the support I need, the therapy I need? It's like, well, we have the tools now with the internet to like beam this into everyone's pocket. And I'm literally tapping with people as I sleep through these videos and these live streams. So, you know, all over the world, people are working with this process. And it's beautiful. So SonyaSophia.us, if you want to learn more about EFT and come to any of my trainings or do any of my online courses.
Great.
And worldtappingcircle.com for joining the circle.
And I think people should start with maybe a list of either their limiting beliefs, or you can call them their painful statements, or things that they kind of want to work on. You know, I'm too ugly, fat, skinny, tall, nerdy, whatever. I mean, you could really apply this to lots of different things, you know?
Yeah.
People that are lonely, they're looking for a partner. I mean, there's all kinds of applications when we look at our quote-unquote painful statements. And it's nice to connect that mind and body.
All the
Any last, we're running out of time. Any last suggestions, comments, advice?
Yeah, it's a little bit of an advanced move, but tapping when you're triggered is really, really useful. So if you're finding yourself panicking or feeling despair or suddenly feeling shocked, if you can tap on any of these points in any order, breathe for a couple of minutes and tell yourself it's okay that you're feeling the way you're feeling, you're going to snap out of it really quickly. And, of course, I'll be here to support you.
Wow. Well, thanks so much for not only a live session, but really making it understandable and approachable for people. You know, they hear new stuff and they're a little, like, they may have to work. Like, even though I've heard of this EFT, I completely accept and love my, I mean, you know, it's kind of like it's so new that they may have to tap to even accept EFT to even use that therapy to help themselves.
I have that tap in my beginning online because it does seem so magical. It's suddenly like I lived in Muggle land and now I'm going to Hogwarts. But, you know, the good news is that it works and we have these tools and this form of energy magic is real.
Thank you, Sonia, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you, Dr. Z. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. And that does it for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We'd love you to stay healthy and use these tools to become, to help you, yourself, and your cells attain optimum wellness. Have a great week. Bye-bye.